The new book, Just Another Soldier, is Jason Christopher Hartley's journal of military life drawn from a controversial blog he wrote before and during his service in Iraq. Hartley was a 13-year veteran of the National Guard when he was called to active duty and found himself in Iraq's Sunni Triangle. But even before he reached Iraq, Hartley's commander told him his blog violated operational security and smeared the Army, so Hartley agreed to take it offline. He continued to send the journal as emails, and with 2 months left in Iraq, he decided to put up his blog again. That earned him a demotion and a $1,000 fine. Currently, his blog, JustAnotherSoldier.com, has photographs and deleted scenes from his book. Terry Gross spoke to Jason Christopher Hartley in August.
Outside of the fact that writing the blog gave you a way to write and to express what you and the men around you were going through, what you were feeling, what did you get back from it? Did you get a lot of response to it?
I got quite a bit of response, and I think that was what really kept me doing it. It was so rewarding. Every time I would post a new story, I would get, you know, there'd be a lot of response back, and most of it positive. I would try to be as incendiary and as offensive as possible, just to try to get a rise out of somebody. And I really couldn't get it. People were so supportive, regardless of what I spoke about, and that really became the motivation to continue writing. It kept me sane, and it gave me a project. You know, kept my mind active the entire time that I was in Iraq and not on missions.
You write about the first time you fired a grenade, and you were basically on what you describe as ambush duty, looking for people who might be driving down the road, planting roadside bombs. How were you given the order to fire on this specific vehicle that we'll be talking about?
Well, in this case, I wasn't given an order. We were part of a very small team. We had five guys. This was something that we were just beginning to do while we were. It was a tactic. These ambushes were a strategy our commanders had come up with that was ended up being very effective. And this was one of the first engagements that we had as a result of these ambush operations. And we had a vehicle at the time we believed was definitely enemy. He was spotted planting 155-millimeter artillery rounds on the side of the road, which is the most common detonation charge in these improvised explosive devices guys put out, and he was fleeing. So we engaged the vehicle, and which included me. I expended about a magazine of rounds and a 40-millimeter grenade. Turns out later the guy was a civilian. He wasn't an insurgent at all. His vehicle was overheating. He was trying to find a bottle of water on the side of the road, which through night vision goggles and through thermal sights, the shape of the water bottle looks exactly like an artillery round. So at the time, the decision to engage the vehicle was a sound one. The first team that had fired on the vehicle was they intended to disable the vehicle. By the time the vehicle came to my location, we believed that we were engaging the vehicle to destroy it, so there was a small communication breakdown there. And in the end, the guy was wounded. He lived, thank God. But what made that particular engagement interesting was the fact that emotionally, I wanted nothing more than for that grenade to hit that bus and to see the thing explode and burn. Even after the fact, knowing that it was an innocent civilian who was in that vehicle, there's still a part of me that wishes the grenade would have hit the vehicle.
Does it disturb you that you feel that way?
You know, I intellectually, yes, it does disturb me. But honestly, emotionally, it doesn't disturb me. I don't really know why. But this is the thing that I'm trying to reconcile as well. There's why would a part, even knowing the guy was innocent, why would I still on a visceral level want the thing to have exploded? You know, I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know.
You write a little bit about times when you had to oversee Iraqi prisoners in a jail on your base. And you say that you found yourself walking a fine line between proper Geneva Convention-esque humane treatment of enemy combatants and being made a fool of by the same guys who had been making fools of your unit for the past few weeks by hitting the base with almost nightly mortars. Can you talk a little bit about walking that line, about, you know, wanting to observe the Geneva Conventions, on the other hand, not wanting to be made a fool of or being taken advantage of by the people who were your prisoners?
Well, this was a duty that I think that we were very, as infantrymen, unprepared to do. Dealing with detainees is something that's military police, that's more their job. There are people who are trained to do this. They know, they kind of know what they're getting into. As a grunt, it's, you know, that was, we were kind of thrust into this situation where sometimes we'd have to pull duty on guarding the detainees. And I think that between not being prepared to deal with detainees and also just by virtue of the fact that I was raised in a pretty authoritarian environment. I was raised in Utah as a Mormon. It's very patriarchal, you know, my upbringing. And discipline is something that I suppose is programmed in me on some really basic level, simply because of the way that I was raised. And having detainees in my mind, I'm thinking like, well, there should be a certain level of discipline. These guys shouldn't be goofing off. They shouldn't be making fun of me. I mean, I'm the guy with the gun, right? So when sometimes we would meet this kind of resistance with the guys that we had in our cells, it was, I felt like, well, you know, what do I do? Do I sacrifice? Should I allow myself to be humiliated by the guy who I'm supposed to be in charge of? Or should I try to assert some kind of authority? And when I do assert my authority, how do I do that effectively? And I think in situations like that, at least for me personally, it's so easy to take things a little bit too far in an attempt to do things more correctly. When you have that much power over someone, it's sometimes hard to deal with frustrating situations and still be humane.
Were there other times when you felt you had to compromise your sense of what was right in order to assert your authority or, you know, maintain or regain control of a situation?
Well, there were a few times, and what's the irony of it, too, is the things that you usually find yourself doing to try to, you know, grapple, to try to gain control of a situation, ultimately, you're not gaining control of the situation. For an example, we were in this town of Dujail quite a bit, you know, performing various security missions. There was one day when a couple of kids were in a truck, and there's no really age, driver's license age in Iraq. These kids, they couldn't have been more than 10 or 11, were driving a truck, and they thought it was funny to, like, drive right at us and then swerve at the last minute. Now, had that been an adult doing that, I probably would have shot them and felt fine about it. But in this case, I got two 10 or 11-year-olds, I can tell they're goofing off. They want to see, you know, if they can press the soldiers' buttons. And it worked. And it's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to shoot these kids. I mean, technically, they're putting my life. They're definitely a threat. What if, you know, the kid doesn't swerve correctly at the last minute? Or what if he does want to kill me? I don't know. But the kids did this twice. The second time, I actually, you know, I pointed my weapon at the kid. I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? Shoot the kid? Honestly, I'm probably not going to do it. So I'm trying to assert some kind of authority again in a situation that I can't get a handle on. And in the end, what do I feel like? Well, I feel like a jerk that I let some kids, you know, play me like that, basically. And then another part of me feels bad that, like, I pointed my rifle at a kid.
You're right. The chances of my personally capturing Osama bin Laden are slim. But I'd like to do something a little more than just simply being in the army and sometimes sending money to the ACLU. Do you feel like the work you did in Iraq helped stop terrorism? Do you feel like the war in Iraq is helping to stop terrorism?
I want to give you a direct answer, so I'm going to say this. No, it's not helping it. It's a phenomenal training ground right now. If you're a terrorist or you're an aspiring terrorist and you want to learn how to fight a guerrilla war, go to Iraq. I mean, because it's an awesome place to do it right now.
So what did you do with that thought during the year when you were in Iraq, risking your life? So you were doing this for a war against terrorism, but you felt that this was more contributing to terrorism, to training more terrorists, than it was preventing the spread of terrorism.
Well, I most definitely, absolutely did not have that thought while I was in Iraq.
You didn't?
I've been back for 9 months, and I've had a lot of time to kind of mull things over, and that's a conclusion that I've come to personally since I've been back, not while I was there. I've been staunchly apolitical my entire life, and it's because I hate the conundrum of these types of these arguments that seem to not really go anywhere. And I think, in my opinion, to be an effective, the most effective soldiers are ones who are able to divorce themselves from these ideas. I mean, the guys that we were fighting, they were fighting for a cause. I didn't want to fight for a cause. If you know, I'm a soldier, and my country, I believe, is a decent country, and I'm hoping that if it's going to go into combat, they're going to choose a good reason to do it. So I felt as though I'm relieved of a certain amount of you know, moral decision making. And then from there, I just wanted to do my job, do it well, and try and do it humanely.
When you did get home, some people would come up to you and say, "I don't support the war, but I support you." What was your reaction to hearing that?
I felt good about that. I felt it made me proud for them. It made me proud that today in America, you know, it's not like Vietnam. And soldiers talk about this a lot too. We always say to each other, you know, thank God this isn't Vietnam. We come home, people might say, "I think this war is garbage," but you're not. You don't represent the decisions of the administration. I respect you. I respect your service. But I disagree with this war. And I thought, you know, that's a person who has intellectual integrity and a lot of respect for a person who might be doing a job that they wouldn't want to do. And every time, I've never got tired of hearing that. It made me feel good.
Jason Christopher Hartley's new book is called Just Another Soldier. He's still a member of the Army National Guard in New York.